Okay, well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Tyler. I'm over on Vancouver Island, so not too far from the Dirt Zendo by, by straight line, but quite a distance otherwise. And tonight we are taking on the precept of do not misuse sexuality. Remain faithful in relationships. I am wasn't expecting to get to take this this particular topic on. It's one that I think, but it's one that's really interesting. In that it's, I mean, all the precepts are big and nuanced, but this topic feels bigger and more all-encompassing, maybe, and making its way into every aspect of our lives in a sort of a way that others, I mean, they can. I guess this is just my perception after spending a bit of time reading on all the different books about it. It just finds its way into kind of every almost every little facet of our lives, every relationship, every what we're doing, our day-to-day. And it's also incredibly personal. And again, all the precepts are personal, but this one I feel is sort of in a different way. I realize I'm gonna do something here because the cameras, the video cameras that we're recording this is recording based off my screen, so I should probably change how my screen looks a little bit. Yeah, that will probably work. Great. No, that's not gonna work. Sorry. Oh, I'll just have to do it like this for now, because when it goes to speaker, it goes to the Doon, despite that I'm speaking. So, anyway, so, yeah, and it's very personal. We all have experiences with all things involving sexuality, in its towards us and with us towards others. And it's just, yeah, the more I read, the more I was like, oh my goodness, like how do you tackle this particular topic? And even just looking at how many different ways this topic can be phrased. So for us, we have do not misuse sexuality, remain faithful in relationships. In one I found on the Tricycle website's list of precepts, they had to abstain from sensuous misconduct. And those two things are could be viewed very differently. Diane Rosetto in the book, I don't have it in front of me, but in her book we studied a couple years ago, hers says, I take up the way of engaging in sexual intimacy respectfully and with an open heart. And again, you can see how that is different than the previous two. In our current book by Nancy Baker, in Opening to Oneness, she refers to it as non-misusing of sex. Robert Aiken, in his book, took up the way of not misusing sex. And I found, I can't remember where, I can't cite where it came from. But another one that wrote out as, do not misuse yourself or others. And that one took any question of sexuality or any of the words sexuality and spirit, like right out of it. And in this book that we're reading in Opening to Oneness, she writes, in the Dharma, where there is nothing to grasp, nothing to take hold of, not giving rise to attachment, is called the precept of refraining from misusing sexuality. So she uses that translation, and it brings up, of course, the questions of not so much sexuality, but attachment, and that what that means, for us in our practicing of Zen, is sort of a very important term. So yeah, I think that it's could be understood by each of us so uniquely. I'm not going to spend too much time, I guess, really like hammering out what I think it means. There will be times I'm sure where I will be reflecting on what it means to me and like how I think about it. But instead, I'm hoping to use this time to allow opportunities for us to be introspective on and what this precept means in our lives and what it means in our lives and how we practice it. So how do we practice this precept in our lives? Because I think it's actually especially now it's all pervasive and really an important one to kind of struggle with and try to figure out. So as I said, some of these ways of expressing can shift your focus. Some use the word sex, others intimacy. There's the word attachment. Some completely to leave sex out of it. You know, when you look back in history with monastic, or what it means, I guess, if you're in a monastic situation, versus what does it mean if you're sort of just a lay person and abstinence versus not choosing abstinence or celibacy versus other, you know, other polyamory, things like this. These are all different things that could be brought in and sort of understood through this precept. You know, I guess, yeah, so how it differs for someone who chooses celibacy, how it affects like myself, who I've been in a monogamous relationship, heterosexual monogamous relationship with my partner since we were about like 16. So like what this means for us as our relationship grows and as I grow within that relationship might be different than someone who is celibate, might be different from a single person, a single Buddhist who's just out there on the dating scene in this current culture of dating and kind of how that means. Some friends of mine are in a long-term relationship. They have a kid, but the whole time they've had their relationship, they've been polyamorous. So they live together. They've got children, and but they've been in a polyamorous relationship the whole time. And so what that would look like for them again would be very different. I know I'm kind of maybe going over this a lot. So each of us will take something different, but as we move forward and discuss this, I also know that this can be a it can be a tough. I mean, I guess you'll be asked to kind of talk with your fellow Zen friends here, and of course, only share like you're no one's expected to share anything they don't want to share. If things conversations get uncomfortable, you can step out of them. It comes to mind only because in the opening to Oneness book, I was looking for exercises to do in a group. And she had one at the end of her chapter, and I was uncomfortable with it. With this sort of asking people to tell them how they've misused sexuality, like just asking that question over and over again. I think that could, for people who have made mistakes or people who have had people misuse sexuality towards them, it could build take up a bit too much. So I'm. But there's going to be an opportunity for us to discuss this in small groups and then hopefully in the big group. And but only do, of course, what you are comfortable with doing. So the first thing I'd like to do is I'm going to share my screen. And I've been just sort of rambling on more here. And when I was going over all the different ways that this precept has been phrased, I'm curious if there are words that like words or like small sentences about what this that kind of like keywords about what this precept might mean to you. So, you know, we've, you know, maybe intimacy or attachment or something like that. Like what are when you think about this precept, when you've been reading this, like what sort of things came to mind? And we're gonna make a list of what this precept could encompass, and then we are going to use that list for activity in a moment. So obviously if you're on Zoom, you can raise your hand, and then if you're in the Zendo, just grab a seat at the cart or at the seat there, and I should see it. And if I don't see you, feel free just to raise your hand there. Now, I'm going to share, but I need to be able to see as well. So I guess I need to do, let's go with that. Let's see here. Okay. Did that work at all for folks? I think it should be good because I should be able to see anyone who pops up on the screen, in the Zoom, and I can see the cart. So, does anyone have any sort of, when they think about this precept, words or say short phrases that it kind of that they consider that as important? I don't know if this is a bit abstract, but take a moment to think about it. You don't have to answer right away. I am comfortable with silence. Yes, Gabriel.
Yeah, faithfulness.
Faithfulness, okay. That's not, is it gonna let me? Also, sorry. And here you're gonna see my phenomenal spelling coming out in true form there. Faithfulness, all right. Jinryu.
Boundaries.
Boundaries. Ah, okay. Denny.
I'm sorry, honesty.
Honesty. Jinryu, do you have another one, or are you just still having your hand up? Oh, yeah, okay, give it.
Privacy.
Ooh, privacy. Rachel. Oh, is someone on the in the Zoom? My camera on the. Oh, sorry, at the cart. Thank you. At down in the my it keeps moving you off my screen. Sure, go for it.
Able to communicate needs.
Communication of needs. Yes. Sure. I mean, when I say if I don't say yes enthusiastically, it's not because I thought it was a bad answer. I'll try to give my responses.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead in the Zendo again.
Betrayal.
Betrayal. Okay. Oh, that's okay. There we are. Bruce, yeah.
Patience.
Patience. My keyboard is something else today. All right, patience. Yes, Erlen.
Respect and compassion.
Rachel. Oh, tell me you're down there. Sorry. Rachel, go ahead, then we'll.
Understanding.
Understanding. And Domio, I see you down there in the.
Possessiveness.
Oh, nice. Ashley.
Vulnerability.
Sorry, can you say that again?
Vulnerability.
Vulnerability. All right.
Consent.
In the Zendo?
Consent.
Consent. All right. Gabriel?
Just letting you know, there's a couple in the chat that Leah wrote.
Oh, people right in the chat. Love it. Thank you. Gender roles and gender identity. Yeah.
Good self-image.
All right, good self-image. At the and do. Give another sec. Oh, Jinryu, yeah.
Dignity.
Dignity. And I'm going to add judge. Judgment of self and others. That's a pretty good list, I think. Is there anyone else who's feeling like there's anything really important to them that's been left out?
Is jealousy on them?
Oh. Can you say that again? Sorry?
I said, is jealousy on there?
No, jealousy is not under the on there. Possessiveness is, but we'll put down jealousness. Jealous.
And also addictive behavior.
That's how you spell it. Addictive. Yeah. I don't think that's how you spell jealousy. We're just gonna go with it. Oh, you're gonna get some of you Americans are gonna get more U's in these spellings than you might be ready for. So I apologize about that. Yeah, and the Zendo?
Resiliency.
Resiliency. I don't think I'm getting spell checked anymore. Just making sure I'm at the top here. Okay.
Oh, we gotta get love on that list. Oh.
and
sex, I guess. We should probably put sex.
There.
Oh, and Tyler, just a recommendation if you want to. You could just put two things on one line and put some space between them if you want
to keep it. That's a good idea. Or, because I don't want to lower the. I don't know how I'm going to do that this well. Let's do. Oh, I know. Do you know what? Maybe what we can do is. Just because I'd like to keep this up for a moment, can I? Am I capable of putting a divider in really quickly? I probably am not in Google. I don't use Google Docs too often. At the cart, yeah? Yes, sir? In the Zendo?
We're talking about it, but intimacy specifically.
And then I'm trying to see if I can. Nothing else, I'll just make them a little bit smaller. See if that helps at all. Everyone still see that if I have them a little bit smaller? mostly I guess in the Zendo is what I'd be worried about. All right. So that's a lot of things. And what we're going to do next is we're going to I want you to take a minute and take a look at this list and see if there's any that really sort of speak to you in your current practice with this precept. So if, you know, there's just, you know, if you're, you can pick one or two things that you're really kind of interested in when thinking about how you can practice with this precept. And then we're going to break off into small groups. Zoom will, I'll throw out the Zoom rooms. And then in the Zendo, I imagine you guys are pretty good at self-organizing at this point. And instead of me sharing all these with you, if you can remember one or two that are important to you to bring to your group, and you guys can have a discussion about what these, how these things fit into the precept for you. It could be something, you know, it could be something personal going on in your life, or it could be something very philosophical, like how this precept sort of can be worked out, or something very practical. It's totally open. But does that make sense as an activity? Great. I'm getting Yeah, one really wonderful. Erica, give me the thumbs up as much as possible. It's really helping out here. All right. So I will.
Wait, 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 wait.
Jinryu, you've got a hand.
Sorry. I'm losing sight of what the activity is.
Sure.
We've got these things.
Yeah.
What do you want us to do?
So you to pick one or two of them for yourself. And just so everyone doesn't have to remember the whole list, just pick one or two that you kind of identify with your practice with this precept. So like maybe honesty is something in, in what you're trying to do with relationships or attachment or compassion, whatever it might be. Then you're going to go to meet in a small group and you're just going to discuss how these play into the precept for you, be it in your practice or just in your philosophical thinkings about the precept. Is that clearish? All right. Cool. So we'll give it 5 or 10 minutes and then we'll come back and people, if the people are dying to chat about anything that they, if anything really interesting happened to the group, we can just have a conversation and sort of see where it goes from there. So I'll open the Zoom rooms and the Zendo can split themselves up. I'm doing like groups of like what am I doing here? Four-ish. The Zendo, you guys can again see, you guys know how it works best in person. Great, here we go.
You leave your shared screen up?
Oh, I can.
Yes. Cool. How do we want to do
On. There we go. I will have to take it down for a quick second while I'm pause this video, actually. Oh. All right. So I hope that was everyone was able to have a fruitful, if not interesting, discussion with your in your breakout groups. And I thought that I would give us some the next bit of time if anyone in the groups want to discuss some of the sort of things that came up, some of the conversation points. I know I didn't ask you to have someone to actually report back, but if folks from groups want to discuss what they were talking about, and then we can kind of take it from there, I think that would be lovely. Yes, Jin, are you?
I'll just talk about my own little personal revelation with this precept in the past, say, 30 to 40 minutes. Where are you? There you are. I threw some words up there. The ones that I really resonated with were privacy and dignity and respect. And I got into my breakout room and I had to confess that I think of this precepts in ter this precept, excuse me, in terms of everyone else. I never apply it to me. And that's very strange, I think. And I don't know if it's because I think I don't have any questions in this area. If it's my husband and I have this quiet and traditional approach to marriage and partnership. I don't know why that is. What I have always looked upon this precept as a way to understand others and to be respectful with others. And then in our discussion, we went from there, we went to other people sharing. And then it came around to, this is not a precept about sexuality. It's really about relationships with everybody, regardless. It could be about friendship, partnership, and I mean business partnership, relationships at work. It's almost like you can see how all the precepts work in this particular relationship, friendship, business partner, whatever, in this one precept. So I just thought that was very interesting, kind of a very interesting little mental journey for me.
Thank you for sharing that, Jinryu. Cassie.
Yeah, our group focused a lot about on honesty and compassion, but we also got into a discussion kind of taking that, we all come from, different viewpoints, but we looked at sexuality when it comes to kind of from a marketing perspective and a societal perspective, right? So this whole sex sells situation, and our is society or maybe a brand or a celebrity using their sexuality to or misusing their sexuality and breaking the precept to get me as to buy something maybe kind of as the opposite of honesty. And am I misusing my if I buy something based off some entity misusing their sexuality, is that a violation from my standpoint? So we kind of just got into a discussion about that and what that would look like in our group, taking it out a little bit more.
Thank you. Hello. Oh, welcome up.
So, I just kind of what Jinryu. Oh, what? You can't hear Jinryu?
You're very quiet all of a sudden.
Is that the musicians?
No.
Oh.
Sounds like you're not close enough to the mic.
The Zendo's suddenly quiet?
Well, I have no idea why that would be. Well,
You sound better now.
Yeah.
Why couldn't I just lift the microphone closer?
I think. All right. How does it sound now?
Good.
Okay. Yeah, they should be able to do it in both directions, but
Okay.
Yeah, I just some what Jinryu said made me want to share. I think my favorite when I have to teach this precept, this way of looking at intimacy that I got in this book, actually written by a completely celibate Christian, I don't know, a monk or priest or whatever. And he talked about it like he talked about the energy of sexuality as being what draws beings together. And when you really think about it, you think of all the ways that we can conflict, all the ways that like we annoy each other, and all how fraught relationships are. If we didn't have this energy drawing us together, we would never get together, right? That's like So that's what, our ancestors, if they were going to get together to breed, they had to have this energy drawing them together. And then in a way, like it goes, like we've been saying, it goes beyond just sex and sexuality, but like we're drawn to people and all the ways that the way that we're drawn to people can be rewarding and can be treated with respect or can be abused. I think it really opens this up.
Thank you, Domio. I feel for myself, well, I can say, well, I don't have a relationship now, I'm not looking. And then I think, how can I be that full self? How is Zen in my day as I I'm in a facility. I live with people in my age group. Many of them are quite incapacitated, and we all have our opinions. And how can I show respect and still be my full feminine self, which I know is prejudiced. I mean, if what do you mean you don't have a relationship with your grandkids? You know, I mean, I don't need to bring my opinion, but I need to be balanced in my life, in my day. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruthann.
I guess I can share a little bit about what I was sharing in the group. Was I know that the other precepts have kind of the mirror image of what you shouldn't do and what you should do instead. And I thought it was interesting that to have do not misuse sexuality next to remain faithful in relationships, trying to think of how one thing correlates with the other one. And it's something that I'm still actively thinking about, not something I necessarily have answered. But when I think about misusing sexuality and what we know of human behavior, I think about consent and the lack of consent and, you know, historically what civilizations have done, misusing sexuality and consent and how that relates to being faithful, including being faithful when you maybe don't even have a romantic partner, or when, like Tyler brought up, polyamorous relationships. And I guess just thinking about that and how that correlates and how it comes down to faithfulness in relationships. And I guess maybe maintaining the expectation in a relationship and maintaining faithfulness maybe is a way of maintaining consent, not desiring something more from a relationship that is, you know, kind of steps out of the boundaries of that relationship. So yeah, just kind of rambling about those thoughts and the wording.
Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of in some ways I was really with what Jinryu was saying, that I've been in a monogamous relationship for majority of my life now. And you know, as I say, I've got friends who have all sorts of different relationships going on, and my partner and I often have discussions about it and would, you know, what, you know, why it works, why polyamory works for some, and some people are just sort of don't want to get into a committed relationship to begin with. And what having all these other relationships around and looking at them in a non-judgmental way, which is something that not judging other relationships and not judging myself, because we are at a time right now in our culture, and I think culture is always feeling like these big moments, but I think what sexuality is and means right now, we're at a huge point, a huge turning point that's been sort of coming slowly for a while, but it just feels like it's all coming to the front, and it's in a lot of conversations and a lot of politics. But when my partner and I were talking about this, and some of our friends, particularly the friends, they have a child, but they still have these polyamorous relationship going on. And, you know, not that it was fine that wasn't for us, but I had to start asking myself, like, what is it about the idea of my partner being with someone else intimately that is so upsetting to me? It doesn't mean she doesn't love me anymore, but there was something that was like, no, that's just for me, right? There was like this sort of like attachment piece, and that was that's been something that I've been looking at this, and what I've looked at in the past is like, so what, where are these little bits of attachment that seem on the you know, in the open, like really lovely, like we love each other and we want it to be just for us, but there's, for me, there was like, oh, like, but how would I feel if she was having an intimate relationship, sexual or otherwise, like, you know, and I remember in when we were younger, my partner talking about having intimate relationships that she didn't know about that weren't sexual in nature, but still that felt not right. And just like, just it brought up, so just this sort of conversations, despite just wanting to being comfortable in a monogamous relationship, why I was only comfortable in that has been a really interesting moment of introspection for me when I think about this precept and sort of what judgments I have of other relationships, and why I would or would not sort of be interested in them. I only have a couple of minutes left. Were there any other groups that had anything, anyone that had anything they wanted to share, or?
Thank you for putting things into a perspective outside of the heteronormative narrative that we're usually used to dealing with, Tyler. I think that's really good, and I think it's a great example of maybe just the precept as a whole, because everyone in every relationship, there's different rules, different boundaries, and different definitions of faithfulness. And I think that's what it comes down to, even if it's like a friendship, a polyamorous relationship, a monogamous relationship. So it comes down to maintaining those boundaries of what faithfulness means for the people involved in that relationship.
Thank you.
Oh, cool. Tyler, I'd also like to add to this last sharing. Really, a sexual relationship can be so deep. I mean, we never totally know another human being because our situations can change, and we might see a loved one that we've known for a long time in a different new kind of pressure or situation. And so when you honor the sexual energy, it can just be another avenue of a deeper commitment and a wider definition of love, because it's just, you know, life is so quick. And I mean, you just really have that opportunity if we're open.
Thank you so much, Ruth Ann. All right. Well, unless there's anyone else that wants to jump in real quick, we will wrap it up. So we offer the merits of this Sangha meeting to all, so they may be able to obtain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita.
You're not.